You saw that girl that somehow piqued your interest, and you know you want to know what about her. You want to know more information, right? You know, no, I'm talking to the guys. Yes, we do. We do. We want to know more information. You know, well, other things too. But okay, so so you go up to her and you ask her what her name is, right? No, you guys didn't ever do that? Wow, you guys are like the studs. Yeah, no, they hunted me down, man. No. Okay, this is the normal way, you know. I guess I need to teach you guys something. Okay, you know, hey, you know, you don't walk up there and go, hey, babe, you know, what's your name? You know, that doesn't work, you know. But, you know, you go up and you introduce yourself. And, you know, and the goal is to what? Get more information, right? And it's if you weren't really interested in a relationship, you never would have started it in the first place. Okay, so really the whole thing is designed to create some type of a relationship. And then you know, then if things move on, you know, you move into dating, you know, talking on the phone, you know, going to dinner, going on walks, you know, getting more facts about her and vice versa. And then at some point, as the relationship grows, then he will ask her for her hand in marriage. And then if they've waited, then the next thing is they will get married. And then on their honeymoon, there that night, he will what? He will know her, right? And that's a key word to what we're going to talk about today. Then he will know her. In Genesis chapter 4, verse 1, so you see the word up there, right? Understands and what? Knows me. Well, in Genesis chapter 4, verse 1, Adam knew Eve, and she what? Conceived, right? And she what? Conceived. Now, this is interesting. This word in, go back, John, please. This word knows, that he knows me, is the exact same word in Hebrew to where Adam knew Eve. Interesting. So, isn't it interesting when God describes how close he wants to be with us, he uses a sexual word. Now, if you look this word up in the today, in the Merriam-Webster's dictionary, you look down, you'll see the third meaning means sexual intercourse, means to know. So it's not something that's just Old Testament. It's something that actually applies. We can use that for today. So the same word that he used in Genesis 4:1 and they use here in Jeremiah, he also used in Exodus 33:13. Where he said, I want to, Moses speaking to God says, I want to know your ways. Now think about this. If you go back and you read Exodus and you see all the things that Moses that did, you know, because of God intervening with the 10 plagues and the Red Sea, the burning bush, and we go through all those things, and then we get to Exodus 33:13, and Moses goes, I want to know your ways. You go, what, you don't know that by now? Right? Can you imagine being on such a plane with the Father in heaven that he's done all these miracles in your life, and you go, God, show me your ways so that I know you? So he's painting a picture here about not having a casual relationship. We're not having an informational relationship. We're not having a program relationship. He's talking about having a relationship that, in a sense, okay, I hope this doesn't offend anybody, but I'm going to say this. In a sense, he wants to sleep with you. He wants to be so close, so intimate with you, that we will know his ways. See, otherwise, we just know each other. We just, you know, in other words, I'm familiar with you. I'm going through the program. I know when to genuflect. I know when to come to church on Sunday morning. I know when church is over. We're going to sing two or three songs. We're going to say amen. The pastor's going to say some words. Afterwards, we're going to go out and have coffee and some goodies or whatever. And then we're going to go home and we'll come back next week. So that's not knowing God. So I'm not talking about church. I'm talking about knowing God. That's the place I want to go. Because when we know him and know what to expect from him, because if we go back to, he says, let not the man glory in his might, right? Isn't that what we try to do? We go after riches, we go after wisdom, and we go after power. That's what we go after, right? From the day we're born, we're taught to do that. Well, that's not what he tells us to glory in. And that's what, right? Because here's the thing, is there anything wrong with having power? Is there anything wrong with having riches? Is there anything wrong with having wisdom? Those things are actually important. In fact, those are things that he'll give you, you know. But he says what he's saying here in the scripture, you know, at this time, you know, the Jews were being oppressed. They were in slavery. Everything was a chaos. And then he comes up and says, would you quit glorying in this? He says, I want you to glory in me. I want you to know me. So is this clear enough to what he's interested in doing? So I think when I read this scripture that I think this is really applicable to us today and to who we are and the place where we're at. So he's telling us in this scripture here, he says, listen, you're after the wrong things. Do you believe that? Is anybody in here too busy to do what they need to do in their relationship with the Father? Yeah, I like to say, yeah, probably. You know, and it's like, why are we too busy? Because we're chasing after all three or one or two of these things. And so we're too busy to set those things aside in order to get to know him. Because if you read magazines, if you read, you know, listen to stories, I mean, it's about the big bank account. You know, it's about the degrees, you know, like look at all the degrees I got hanging up on the wall. I've got this education. I know about this. I know about that. You know, or look at the power, you know, the power, the authority that I've gained. And this, you know, this is what I want to be and who I want to be. And yet I don't have time to come and spend time with my Lord and actually get to know him. And at the same time, then, because we're too busy doing all these other things, we go, God, why am I having all these problems? Why am I, you know, I have the education, I have the power, I have the knowledge, and yet I'm still having all these problems, or I'm having these problems in my body, and I'm, you know, it's just like, make it stop. And he goes, you know, he's really going to, there's a scripture that says, you know, what you sow, you're going to what? Reap. Well, I think that has to go with the Father, too. The time that we're willing to put in to him, he will pay back. So if we're giving him a part-time, he's going to come back to us part-time. Amen? Yeah, Pastor, that's really exactly what I want to hear. You know, so he's saying here, if you think you've got something to brag about, he's saying, no, you don't. Because, I mean, really, again, look at the time, the energy it takes to achieve all these things. Right? And yet, in the back of our mind, in your spirit, he's crying out, to say, hey, I want to know God. And God, in his spirit, is crying out, I want you to know me. I want you to know me. Okay? So if we know about the big bank account, we know about degrees, and we know about the power and the clout, you know, but you don't know God, then I guess, you know, I guess the thing we need to stop and take an inventory of ourselves is why? And usually it's because of pride, because, well, if I don't do this and this and this and this and this and this, you know, do all these 101,000 things, then I'm not going to achieve what I think I need to achieve. But we're trying to achieve that on our own power. Because I'm too busy, you know. And we have got to work on getting that, you know. So I'm just going to ask you a question. How many of you really think you want this church to grow? Okay. Do you know what it's going to take to see this church grow? It's going to take your time. It's going to take your time, because as we start opening our doors and start doing more things in the evenings and whatnot, it's going to require you to be here. Well, yeah, but what if I don't want to be here? Well, then you're really not after the things of God. Because as people come and start joining us, you're the core. You're who the church is now. You are. And so if somebody comes and it's not important enough for you to be part of what's going on, then they're not going to really know who this church is. They're going to think, well, how come if it's not important for them to be here, then why is it important for me to be here? Okay, we set an example. Okay, so we can't get caught up in what we did. You ever hear the story about the woodpecker? He goes out there and he's woodpeckering on this tree and he's peckering on and he's just keeps banging away at it and he's banging away at it and he keeps working at it all day long. And then at the end of the day, all of a sudden, bam! Lightning hits the tree. And the tree, and the woodpecker stands back and says, look what I did. Right? I mean, that's kind of how we think sometimes. You know, I said, look what I did. You know, and that's what Nebuchadnezzar did. He said, look what I did. I built this country. I took over all these other nations. I built it up. You know, and what happened to Nebuchadnezzar, right? He just died. You know, he's probably not going to be in heaven. He just died. So it's really, you got to know that it's not the bank account that matters. It's not the information that's on the wall. It's not about how much clout you have. It's about, do you know God? Do you know God? And this is why I like to read about the old timers. Because when you read about the old timers and study them, when you see what they did and how much they accomplished, it wasn't about their education. It wasn't about their money. It wasn't about how much they thought they knew. What they knew was about God. That's what they knew. And the what he did, what they did, the millions and millions of people that were saved, that were healed, and, you know, on and on. And that's the place, you know, my frustration in my own life is this, that I don't know him at the level I need to know him. And you can't get to the level where you need to be by trying to piggyback on what I know. We have to go there, each of us, on our own. You can't do that. Does that make sense? If I really want to, if I see, you might be sitting there going, well, Pastor, I know God. Okay, but you know God, you know about him, you might even talk about him, but the question is how much power is coming out of you? When you're out in the public, do you talk about God? Do you give God the glory? Do you give him the praise and glory for your finances? Do you, when you hear somebody's sick, when somebody's hurting, do you really pray for them? Do you say, hey, let me take your hand, let me pray for you? I mean, that's the kind of thing. It's like when God's important to us, we'll go for it. Well, what if they say no? Well, fine, move on. But in the meantime, what if they say yes? Right? I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, church, I used the term Russell Wilson, you know, the quarterback for the Seattle Seahawks. you know, a lot of, you know, I don't know where you guys are all at, but a lot of people I know, you know, they're his, you know, he's their number one idol in football. And so they're fans, you know, they don't know him, right? They might listen to ESPN all day long. They might, you know, listen to broadcasts on the radio. They might, you know, read all his stats in the paper or whatever, you know, get magazines and read about him. But they don't know him. And when he, you know, and I always listen to my, you know, when he won a Super Bowl, were you invited to the party? Probably not. He doesn't know who you are, you know, and it's kind of the same thing with God. It's like, we know who he is, but does he know us? You say, well, of course he knows me, because God knows everything. What about that scripture that says, get out of here, I never knew you. See, there's a knowing and there's a knowing. And this is an intimate knowing. It's not just a, yeah, I know, you know, let me shake your hand, and, you know, I see you once in a while, and, you know, love you, brother. Yep. You don't know him. You don't know me. Right? It was good. I know it. Yeah. You know, same thing with church. People come to church and they're almost like fans of church. Yeah, come to church. I'll come and spend a couple hours in church and listen to the talking head, you know. And, you know, some of them have season tickets. You know, they come and they pay their, you know, they pay their admission fee when they come to church and they listen. They'll go, yay, rah, rah, and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, they're just being a fan at church. You know, when we're in there praying before church, you know what we're praying for? Most of you don't. We're praying for his presence. We want his presence, because that's where his power is in his presence. And he's not going to just bless us with his presence because three people are praying for it. We got to all want it. We can't be just an observer. We got to be participants. We got to want it. God, I want you. You know, I see Tim walking in with crutches this morning, and my heart goes, I'm picking on you, Tim. My heart goes, oh. Yeah, I just want the man well. Amen. I just, you know, and whoever else has got something, you know, I just want you well. I don't want that. And so that's kind of my frustration is I want to see more manifestation. Amen. You know, and you say, well, are you ever seeing any? And I go, yeah, I am. In my own life. There's a thing with your foot called a Morgan pneuma. Okay? It's a really painful thing. And so what happens is you ever get in your shoe, you ever get your sock where it's all balled up underneath the balls of your feet, you know, and it hurts to walk on, you know? Well, that's what it feels like all the time. And then your little toe, or your toe that's next to your big toe, there's a bundle of nerves in there, and that thing burns. And just starts burning, and it burns all the time. And so it's really painful. And so I was going through that a few months ago. And I actually had an appointment with the doctor about something. I brought that up. And he says, well, all you can do is just not walk. And, you know, they got treatments for, they blah, 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 you know. Thanks for nothing, right? So what did I do? So I went to God. I say, God, I got this issue. I need to, you know, thank you. Your word just says this and this and this, and I receive it. And so I have to admit, I was kind of I was pampering it, you know, because it hurt, you know. And you know how when you have pain, and people want you to do something, and you say, well, no, I got a pain. I don't really want to do it. And they go, oh, you're just a big wussy, you know. So Sue's talking to our neighbor, and they're going to go on this walk, and it's about a two-mile walk. And hey, go get Randy, and we'll go. And I go, Sue, so came and go, hey, we're going to go for a walk. You want to go? No. My foot hurts. And then my neighbor, he goes, well, my foot hurts all the time. You know, I mean, so here comes the condemnation, right? Not conviction, condemnation, you know. And I said, well, I can't look like a wimp, so I gotta go do this. I haven't been walking. And so we're like 100 yards into the walk, and my foot hurts. And I want to sit down, and I want to stop. And if nobody was here, I would cry. And I mean, it was. And guess what happened? You know, I started, so they're talking and I'm praying, man. It's like, Lord, you gotta help me. I gotta look better than this. This is bad, you know. No pride here, right? And so, you know, so eventually, you know, I made it. You know, I didn't die. My foot made it, and I made it home. And so I was praying about it that night, and it's like, well, if you can do that today, maybe you could do it tomorrow. It's like, Lord, you know. And so I started praying about it. And well, I didn't start praying about it. He spoke to me about it. So guess what? So next time I get up, I start walking. And I've been, except for the last 2 weeks, I've been walking every day, two and a half miles every day. I'm thinking of Vicky back there. So what's the big deal about 2 miles? You know? I run that in my sleep. You know, what are you talking about? No, but you know, for me at the time, it was a big deal, and so then so as I'm praying over it and I'm walking, the thing was gone like in a week and a half, and so it's like, and I never even heard. I didn't even know what I had until a few weeks ago. And I was reading about somebody else that had the same thing, and all the treatments they were going through, and all the things they're having to do to try to get well, and so on and so forth. And I'm thinking, dude, God, I know God healed it. I know he did. You know, it wasn't because I was walking, it was because he healed it. Amen? So that's why, you know, it's like, so you can't ride on the back of what happened to me. You can hear about that, but you have to earn it yourself. You have to have that relationship with him to where you can hear him say, get off your butt and go do this. Right? And then we got to do what? Then we gotta do that. So the bottom line here is, you know, because of the word no, you know, God wants us to be so close. He wants that we know him, we know his ways, we can see his glory. And he says there at the end of it there, you know, he says, but let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, and that the Lord, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness. Where? Where? Where's that? It's here. It's here. So he's saying that the person that knows me will glory in the Lord, seeing this, exercising loving kindness. What does that mean? See, that's like a, you know, loving kindness. You know, what does that mean? You know, that person that just operating in loving kindness is the person that operates in faithfulness. That's him to us. And then he talks about judgment, right? So that judgment is really, when you dig into it, it's about the equity between mankind. Now, there's two sides to judgment, you know, because we always talk about judgment. It's like, okay, that means you're going to hell. No, it doesn't. You go to court, and there's a judgment that one wins, one loses. Well, at judgment day, some people are going to go to heaven, and some people aren't going to go to heaven. So, but what it is, it creates equity among mankind. Do we need that today? I mean, we've got all this stupid stuff going on about everybody hates everybody. And it's like, no, that's why we need God. I have been called so many things in the last few months by people that don't even know me. And it's like, you don't know me. How can you tell me I'm a white racist? You don't know me. One person said, well, your picture is white. Oh, so that makes me a racist. And the answer was, yes. It is crazy. That's not fair judgment. That's not equality. You know, we're told by this certain group in our country that, you know, the conservative people need to be more tolerant. And I don't see the conservative people trying to burn down the federal courthouse in Portland. You know, it's like, who's tolerant here? You know, and this is the devil's trick, is to condemn you in such a manner to say that you're doing what he's doing. That's how he works. You know, so when you see somebody striking out saying this about you, they're really not saying that about you. They're really saying that about themselves. You know, so you just, you know, get mad, get irritated, whatever, but keep it aside and take it to God and say, thank God I know you. Thank you that you're on my side. Amen. And I apply the blood of Jesus against all those comments. And I lift them up. Say, Lord, I want you to bless them. I made a comment and I don't do this much anymore. I made a comment on one of Governor Brown's statements yesterday. Within minutes, I had over 165 slams. It's like, wow, I didn't know I was so popular. You know, wish I could say that and fill the church up. You know, it's like, man, wow, you know, it's just crazy. So so a lot of the you know, the thing that's going on here is knowing God is finding out who he really is, right? Who he really is, not who you think he is or who you want him to be. When you got married, was your spouse exactly who you thought they were? Or did something happen somewhere during that first or second week? There was a change. Somehow they changed, you know, and maybe a couple months into it, their changing got even worse. You know, there was a point in time where when we first got married, I mean, it was like, wow, you know, God, this woman you gave me. And actually, God didn't even enter into it at the time. He did, but I didn't know it. And I was like, done. It's like, I'm not doing this anymore. And she was probably thinking the same thing. So I went down to the corner and went to the phone booth, called my house. Mom, Dad, I'm done. I'm coming home. You know what they said? No, you're not. No, you're not. You made a vow to that woman. If you ever leave her, do not ever come back here. She's welcome anytime. Okay? So I go, man. So did you ever hear the story about the opera singer, the guy that fell in love with an opera singer? You know, woman's up there and she's like the most beautiful thing he ever saw. You know, I mean, this is kind of how marriages go sometimes. So he sees her and he falls in love with her. And he has a very quick romance with her, and they get married. So the first night of marriage, you know, she sits down at the table, and she you know, she's gorgeous. She's beautiful. Everything's perfect. And she takes off her wig. And she's bald. And then she takes out her false teeth, uppers and lowers. And then she takes out the one glass eye, sets it on the table. And then he's watching all this. And then she takes off one of her legs, because one of them was wooden leg. And then he looks at her and he says, you better sing. You didn't get that? You better sing. Opera singer, you know, beautiful. These people that you sent me. Okay, well, let's what? How far into the message are we? We need to delete that because. Okay. You didn't know.
Right.
Yeah. Anyway. In other words, we don't always know who we really are gonna end up with when we get married, right?
Right.
But what God wants us to do is he wants us to know who we're going to end up with when it comes to him, and vice versa. Amen. So you know, the thing, you can't impose on God what you want him to be, right? How many of us tell God when we pray to him, we ask him for something, and we, you know, we doing in the back of our mind, we're planning how this is going to come about. Lord, I need this, and this is what needs to happen, how it's going to happen, get it all planned out. And, but you can't do that to God, because, right? Because he knows the beginning from the end. He already knows. He's already got a plan. You know, and you're trying to make a plan, you know, in order to get around that. So then, if you're going to get to know God, okay, then you're going to have let him have the freedom to tell you and reveal to you who he is. You've got to give him that freedom. And then be willing to change your thinking process, your believing process, to get in line with who he says he is. Does that make sense? Is that better than the joke? Okay. So that's the place where you know, we if you have a dog, you know, like a short hair pointer, you all know what that is? Short hair pointer, you know, there's a bird dog, and they're you know, about this tall and about this long, and have short hair. And what do? They point when they find a bird. And what do? You know, if they're not trained, what do when they see a bird? Boom, man, they go after it. Okay, that's their DNA. You know what? You can't take that out of them. It's who they are. It's what they are. Right. And so no matter what you try to do to that, you can't turn that dog into a golden retriever. You can't do it. It's not going to be a gold. You can't turn it into a little Jack Terrier. You know, it's impossible. You can't turn a pointer into a German Shepherd, you know, and turn him into an attack dog. He's not in his DNA. So, but we try to do that with God. This is God's DNA, and this is how we want you to work, God. We're going to tell you how we define you and how you're going to, these are the parameters I want you to work in. And you can't redefine God. You can't do it. You can tell him that, and he's going to go, yeah, go ahead, try and make me do that. You know, he's not going to do it. Did your kids ever do that to you? This is what I think you should do, Mom, Dad, right? You know, if your parents were like mine, my dad would say, yeah, whatever, son. Ain't going to happen. Yeah, but I think this would be the right thing. And he said, I remember a few times he says, so who asked you to think? You know, thanks, Dad, you know. So in order to know God, you're going to need what? You're going to need revelation on who he is. In other words, you have to let him reveal himself to you. Right? Have you ever been to a play? You know, like a high school play? You know, and so you go to a high school play, and then in between scenes, you know, they close the curtains, and then there's all this commotion going on in the back. You know, you hear the thumping and the stomping and things sliding across the floor, you know, and you wonder what's going on, what's the next scene going to look like, you know, and you don't know until what happens. The curtains are what? Pull back. So then it's revealed to you, right? Well, same thing with God. You know, he's working behind that curtain all the time, and we don't know what he's doing, but until the curtain is pulled back and he reveals himself to us, we don't really know what it looks like. But we can't dictate to him what it's going to look like. He says, this is what it's going to look like. And he tells us here, he says, listen, let him glory in this, that he who understands and knows me, that I am what? Who's Lord? See, when we tell him what to do, then, you know, when we think we're telling him what to do, then we're trying to be Lord. We think he's just an idol then. We've turned him into an idol. God's not an idol. He's to be worshipped. But he also says, let him glorify in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am what? Lord, and that this is what I do. I exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the what? In the earth, here, in the today, in the now. And that's you know, it's like, well, I don't see what he's doing. I don't hear what he's doing. I don't know. That's because we're not to that place where we understand and know him. And know him. Amen? So, when you hire somebody, before you hire them, what do you want to do? You want to get to what? Know them, right? So what do? You first they give you a resume, right? You read the resume, say, okay, this person interests me. And then what do? You interview them, right? So here we go. So does God have a resume? He has a big resume, right? Yeah. He has references, right? He has men, women, boys, girls, people who got healed. You know, he has 66 books, 100, see, how does this go? 66 books, 1,189 chapters, 35 authors, and the King James Version has 783,137 words. That's his resume. How big's yours? Right? People come to church, they want to hear his resume. Right? People come to church, they want to hear references. They want to hear about the things that God did. They want to hear about the man at the pool of Bethesda and the man at the gate beautiful. And they want to hear, you know, about what Samson did. They want to hear these things. They want to talk about God. They might want to speak his word, maybe. Well, God, you know what God's saying to you and to me? He says, I want an interview, man. I want to face to face. Because if we don't get that face to face, Matthew 7:23 concerns me. I never knew you, depart from me. Do you think who's the most important person to you in a high-ranking position today that you would examples? Anybody? Who's a high-ranking person in this nation that if they would call you, you'd want to go see him? Okay, so let's say the president. Okay. Huh? Or Barr, okay. So if the president called you and you say, yeah, he says, Jeff, I've heard about you. And he's, I would like to meet with you next Tuesday at 12 o'clock at my office in the Oval Room. Why? You're busy with work. You're busy with other stuff. You got an irrigation system to finish. You got to babysit the dog. You got all these things that you got to do. You don't have time to meet with him. Yeah, see, we'll make time for that. But the creator of the universe, who allowed himself to be hung on a cross, go to hell for 3 days and pay the price for your sins, and be raised from the dead, and sits at the right hand of the Father, who sent the Holy Spirit. We go, I'm too busy. See how messed up we get our thinking? The creator of the universe put himself on the cross. We go, I'm too busy. I don't have time to know you. I'm too busy going to school. Or I'm too busy getting, you know, making money. I'm too busy, you know, going to school, getting power. You meet with the president, but we won't meet with God. So let's make it our goal. Let's make it our goal to know God. Take that one scripture there this week and meditate on it. Say, Father, show me how my life, how I can know you more tomorrow than I know you today. Show me how. Show me where I'm missing it. Because the reason we're not doing that is because we're missing it. We're missing it. So Let's don't be part-time Christian. Let's not be a part-time. Let's not be a fan of God. Let's don't be a fan of Jesus. Let's be a follower. Every person that's in this building today needs the God that's in each and every one of you. Each and every person that's in here needs the prayers to get through the next day from each, from all the rest of us. It's hard out there for everybody today. There's so many factors coming at us from the left and the right, up and down and around. You know, I think one of the best things that we did when we were on vacation, no news. Basically, no news. No TV. No news. Silence is golden. Because then you can hear. You can hear him. Take a stand today. Say, Lord, I want to hear your voice. I want to know you like I've never known you. Lord, I want your power. I want your life. I want your revelation, your understanding. My needs to be met, spirit, soul, and body, flowing through me. And use me as an example. Use me as a witness. In my place of work, in my own house, when I'm at the grocery store, or when I'm at the wherever I may be, Lord, I want you to use me. Let me be like Moses. Let my light shine. Where people say there's something different about us. And we say, yeah, you're right. There is something different. And it's because of my Father who is in heaven, who is also in me. Father, let that be the cry of our heart. Let us begin to walk in that, the manifestation of his power and his glory. And I pray for boldness for all of us. That when the need arises, we would enter into that, enter into what the Holy Spirit is telling us to do or leading us to do, that we would go, yes, I'll do that. I'll be obedient to that. I'll say that, or I'll pray for that person, or I will give that, or I will do whatever it is that you tell us to do, Father, because I know you and I know your ways. I thank you for that, Father. Allow us to die to ourselves every day. I know that's critical, because when we die to ourselves, then we can talk face to face, as a friend talks to one another face to face. I know that's how you